Hi everybody, I'm Lights Camera Jackson, it's the LCJ Q&A. Joining me, the director of DreamWorks Animations, Captain Underpants, the first epic movie in theaters June 2nd, David Soren. David, thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure. My pleasure.
This year marks the 20th anniversary of the Captain Underpants books. They were huge when I was in elementary school, and they're still so popular today. Did you have any connection to them before working on this movie?
I did. It's funny, 20 years ago, I happened to be in a bookstore. I had just moved to L.A., and I stumbled across the first book, first Captain Underpants book, in the store, and picked it up and kind of started leaping through it. I thought, this is really silly and looks fun. And before I knew it, I'd read about half of the book right there in the aisle and thought, man, I wish I came up with this idea myself. It's so good. And so I, years later, had kids of my own and read them to my son and my daughter. And when DreamWorks approached me to direct the movie, I was very familiar with the books and was a huge fan.
How closely did you work with author Dave Pilkey?
Dave was pretty involved early on the movie, and about a month after I came on, we met and bonded very quickly. We both taught ourselves to draw by copying Peanuts comic strips, and loved Charles Schulz's work, and had many of the same influences. He was a big fan of The Little Rascals, as was I, and The Three Stooges, and Popeye, and all kinds of things that we ended up having in common, as well as some friends of ours too. So we hit it off pretty quick, and we showed him a bunch of our Viz Dev artwork at the time, and I talked him through some of the script changes we were making. And you know, I think by the time he left, he felt very confident that we were capturing the spirit of what he had created, and really empowered us to take risks with the material. You know, he's not a fan of adaptations that are word for word translations. He sort of finds them boring and like, why bother going to see the movie if it's exactly like the book? And wants something, you know, likes it when there's something new brought to the table. So that was super empowering, and it gave us a lot of creative freedom. And he really trusted us, which he didn't have to do. And you know, I really appreciate it.
And it seems like, though the animation style here, a little different than most DreamWorks animation movies, it seems like the illustrations from these books are really brought to life and really similar to how you did them here on screen.
Yeah, well, these books have been around now 20 years, like you said, and you've got kids who are now college age or older who've grown up on them, and they sort of symbolize their childhood in many ways. And you've got kids who are just learning how to read, who are being introduced to them completely anew. So it's sort of a unique opportunity to be able to appeal to quite a wide range of ages. And those drawings are so iconic. You know, Dave's a great illustrator as well as a terrific writer. So he gave us a lot to work with, and they're very cartoony. They're very expressive. Our character designer, Rune Beneke, who comes from a classical 2D background, is also a terrific animator, ended up being our co-head of animation as well, did a terrific job adapting them and making them sort of ready for primetime CG feature, you know, treatment. And then also did a bunch of animation tests, 2D, all hand-drawn, that were also really instrumental in helping us find our anim style.
And the story of this movie, you've got two kids, they hypnotize their school principal into becoming a superhero. Were there any principals or teachers you had in school that you wish even for a day became a superhero?
We all have good teachers and we all have lousy ones. So, yeah, sure, there were definitely a few that I wouldn't have minded a little hypnosis to be able to change those years. I had a principal in high school that I pulled a bit of a prank on, did a giant mural of him on the one of the stairwell walls that ultimately he did not approve of. shortly after Whitewashed. So yeah, there was certainly some. There was a little thing between me and some of the principal I had. One principal, in fact.
And you use that experience and that energy into the story for this film.
Absolutely. I mean, the most appealing factor of these books to me, and I think why they've been so beloved over 20 years now, is that even though they're called Captain Underpants, they're really about these two boys, George and Harold, these wildly imaginative fourth graders, and their friendship. And it's a creative friendship, which is really rare to see in books or movies, for that matter, and rang really true to me. You know, most of the friendships in my life that I treasure the most are creative in nature, and I love the chance to be able to bring that kind of creative partnership to the screen.
And in the film, Kevin Hart, Jordan Peele, and Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley, they all voice kids. What made them the right choices to voice characters much younger than they are?
Well, like I said, the books now, have been around and are cherished by people in their 20s and 30s, and we really wanted to be able to speak to that age of people as well as the newcomers. And, you know, just the sheer comedy value you get out of professional comedians far outweighs what you're going to get out of a child. So, you know, those guys just, we auditioned them all at a very early table read, and you could just tell it was going to be a great fit, you know. Kevin Hart and Thomas Middleditch had an amazing chemistry. Ed Helms just nailed the sheer stupidity of Captain Underpants in a brilliant way. Nick Kroll, who voices Professor Poopy Pants, didn't come into the movie for quite a while, and he'd been kind of sitting there biding his time, and then suddenly had his first line and opened his mouth, and this insane new Switzerland accent came out of it and just slayed everybody. So, you know, we ended up casting virtually everybody at that table read, and, you know, and then the rest is history.
I was a big fan of the previous film you directed for DreamWorks, Turbo. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's a film that had such a unique, out-there premise, but you made it feel real and believable. And I think one of the elements of that was the internet remix song you had, The Snail is Fast. Do you have a little backstory behind that? I've always wanted to know, because that was one of my favorite elements of Turbo.
That's funny. No, really, we needed a viable reason for, you know, a groundswell to start to happen for people to allow a snail to even compete in the Indy 500. It's such a ludicrous concept, and there's really no good reason why anybody would approve that decision unless there was an overwhelming show of love for the idea of that to happen. So that was really the impetus for it, and then we just had as much fun and made it as goofy as possible.
Yeah, that's great. And this time for music, you've got Weird Al doing a very fun Captain Underpants theme song. It's almost nostalgic in its style. Did you give him free rein to come up with all the lyrics?
Well, that started because in the first book, you know, when I was prepping for the movie, I was just scouring through all the books, and in the first one of the pranks that George and Harold pull is they take over the intercom system at the school and they play 6 hours straight of Weird Al Yankovic songs. And I remember highlighting that and circling it and starring it and writing in the margin, like, we have to get Weird Al Yankovic at some point. And about 2 months ago, we approached him, and he actually knew all about his cameo in the books and was very excited to do it. So he came in, he saw the movie. Tonally, it just seemed like the perfect fit. And we talked about, you know, the classic theme songs that we both grew up on, like the, you know, the old Batman one with, you know, Burt Ward and, you know, the 60s Batman, the Spider-Man one from back then, too, and sort of taking some of the influence from those, but obviously updating it for a superhero that's referred to as Captain Underpants, so giving it a silly twist.
Yeah. It's amazing that was only 2 months ago. Is it nerve-wracking to, you know, you're on the clock and you're getting a core element like this at almost the last minute?
Well, we all just wanted it to work so much, and he really just he nailed it. And I think again, it was sort of the perfect fit for the movie and sensibility match, and I couldn't be happier with the result. The kids have been begging me to play it every time I get in the car now, like the past month.
That's really cool. All right, last question for you, David. Besides Captain Underpants, who is your other favorite cinematic superhero of all time?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, in terms of cool factor, I think you've got, like, your Batmans, your Spider-Mans, your Supermans kind of at the top of the list. I was always a big Spider-Man fan. He was my favorite. Mm. And somewhere in the middle of that list, you probably would put, like, I don't know, the Flash, the Green Lantern, and then you keep scrubbing down the list, you might get to some more forgettable ones, some lesser, you know, lesser not so cool ones. And at the very bottom of that list, in terms of just sheer not cool factor, would be Captain Underpants, who I think really has become my favorite of all of them.
How do you feel about Spider-Man being rebooted again? Are you excited for Homecoming to come out?
Look, part of, you know, the kid in me that collected Spider-Man comic books relentlessly is always going to be excited about Spider-Man movies. I'll be there. I'll check it out. You know, it's hard to not be a little fatigued by it at this point, so hopefully they bring something new to the table.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Well, David Soren, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and best of luck with the movie.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's David Soren, the director of DreamWorks Animation's Captain Underpants, the first epic movie. It opens in select theaters Thursday, June 1st at 5 p.m., and then it goes everywhere the next day, Friday, June 2nd. I'm Lates Camera Jackson with the LCJ Q&A.